Imagine being told you have 6 months to live. You have a terminal progressive disease that's eating away at the white matter of your brain. You'll soon lose your ability to speak, walk, feed yourself, and eventually, you'll slip into a coma and die. No one has ever survived this. Surely you won't either. As the months progress, the doctor's warnings come to fruition. You slip into a pseudo-coma, laying there in total darkness for months. The nurses chat about their bad dates in front of you, flip through television channels, and discuss the certainty that your death will soon be here. They don't know that you can hear them. They're certain you're no longer in there. Friends and family visit less and less. Now your only visitor is your wife, a wife who is certain you'll never recover, and who begins to whisper strange admissions in your ear. It is here, helpless in your hospital bed, that you realize what may have gotten you here in the first place. The scariest thing in your room is no longer the potential of dying, but rather, the person sitting right next to you.
Getting into this, man.
This is Jake Handel, in the building where he and I first met. We lived in the same apartment complex in Boston. I had walked onto the elevator and asked how he was doing, a cordial hello to a neighbor I didn't know.
Not good.
This sort of raw and honest answer describes Jake well. While Jake didn't feel great in that moment, what he was accomplishing was miraculous. For the first time in 4 years, Jake was standing, holding on to his walker, hands gripped and arms strained. The problem being, he was only supposed to go a short distance, and now he was stuck alone in the elevator. After helping him to his apartment and Jake repeating that I saved him, which is certainly a hyperbole, we parted ways. The next time we spoke was 2 months later, and Jake told me his story. A story involving drug deals, death sentences, medical miracles, and more than one suspected murder attempt. A story of survival, with Jake being the only person in the world to ever make it out alive. What happened to Jake was so astonishing, it felt implausible. Every detail trumped the next, and rarely could I predict what was coming. It felt like a Jordan Peele movie, and I just couldn't understand how Jake was now sitting here, drinking beers with me on our rooftop and describing his life events with such nonchalance. If what Jake was telling me was true, this could alter the medical world as we know it, change people's lives forever, and unlock the answers to phenomena we don't have explanations for, things we deem supernatural. I couldn't understand how no one was talking about this, how Jake's face wasn't plastered on the cover of every medical journal, and how his inbox wasn't flooded with inquiries from true crime documentarists. But his story is convoluted. The timeline of events is a bit of a complex web, and the few journalists who have spoken to Jake in the past have sometimes struggled to follow the story. But I needed to know more. And so for the following months, I set out seeking answers. The first question I needed to answer was, how did Jake get here in the first place? This is Blink. I'm your host, Corinne Vien.
I'm Jake Handel. This is my story. I noticed my driving was a little off. And, you know, I used to be a fairly good driver. But I was just swerving all the time. And I would say to myself, like, come on, Jake, pull it together. At this time in my life, I was doing a lot of drugs and a lot of reasons in my life to make me swerve at the wheel or act weird, but this was not baseline at all. And I knew something was wrong, but I was in denial, I guess. I was just avoiding it and didn't even think it was a big deal.